This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
The Kakadu Plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about Brunost.
Yes, another struggle with pronunciation.
Yep.
Gonna do our best.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this is another one. You sent me this suggestion. I had no idea. No idea what it was. And I didn't look it up until the next day. I thought it was going to be a beer.
Okay. I think that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. It's not.
It's certainly not. No. It's Brun, meaning brown, and Ost, meaning cheese. It is a Norwegian cheese, which is brown. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I guess you get the word Brun in like a lot of beer applications, but like variations on that term. So I can see the beer connection. It's a cheese. I was actually introduced to this one by stuff you missed in history class host Holly Fry. I think she had some like at work way back in the day, like a couple offices ago. And I was like, what is this product you are eating? And then she went into like significant detail about how much she loves this cheese. Mm-hmm. And I tried some and I was like, that is interesting. I've never had a cheese that tastes like that before. But I'm very fond of it. I mean, it's kind of funky, it's salty, it's sweet all at the same time. And I was just like, all right, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like I can't get a real vibe on whether I would like it or not. I think I would.
See, me neither. And I was thinking about this because, all right, so one of the things that you dislike strongly is caramel,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I actually have more questions for you. I was thinking about this earlier. I was like, would Annie like this stuff? Mm-hmm. All right. So what is it that you dislike about caramel? Do you do you dislike a caramel sauce? Is it the flavor in like a caramel flavored dessert, or is it like the texture of a caramel candy? Like, what part do you dislike?
The taste. I do think it's the artificial caramel that I really hate.
Okay, because I dislike that as well. But real caramel candy is like one of my favorite things.
I feel like that's I can eat and maybe even enjoy, but it's not my thing. Like, I wouldn't go for it, but I don't hate it. I think it's the artificial.
Okay.
It's like this like buttery, and it actually kind of makes me gag whenever I have that flavor.
That kind of like artificial, like diacetyl, like, yeah, like flavor that you get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just like that same flavor in anything that it shows up in, like in a. Oh, gosh, what the heck is the brand of jelly beans that has all the flavors? Jelly Belly. There you go.
Yeah.
I do this for a living, y'all. Yeah, like in there, but like other people are like, oh man, the buttered popcorn flavor is my favorite. And I'm like, what? Why? I mean, like, more for you. Good for you. But
right.
Heck.
Yeah. You know, I have some people who love that flavor and I'm, you can have it. And I'm happy
exactly.
for you.
Right? Totally.
Yeah. So I think that's why I'm kind of, I'm not sure where I would land on this cheese, but I think I would like it. I think it would take, like, that first bite would be one of those bites where you're like, you don't know what to expect, so you kind of, you know, withdraw. But then maybe uh-huh. the second bite, when I know what I'm getting,
yeah,
then I might like it. That's what I think.
I feel like, I mean, you've got to really, like, I've never seen you really eat something and express extreme dislike for it in front of me. Like,
Dr.
then
Pepper.
Again, I've never tried to give you Dr. Pepper, and I would not, because you're my friend.
I yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll add it to our feed. Oh my. It's
Perfect.
Getting out of hand.
Yeah.
But I do want to try it. I'm very intrigued by it. You can see our past cheese episodes, and Marmite and Vegemite came up a lot in this conversation, so you can
sure.
see that episode as well.
Right, yeah, as like also polarizing, sometimes thinly spread breakfast
yeah.
toast toppings. Mm-hmm. Definitely check out our ricotta episode, as that is another whey-related product.
Yes. Another thing I've been craving, because I think because we're moving into spring, I've seen a lot of ricotta recipes popping up in my
sure.
feed, and I've got a real craving
for
it.
Good. That's fair. That's fair.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess this brings us to our question. Brunost. What is it?
Well, Brunost is a category of cheeses made from the whey, not the curds, of cow and or goat milk. That's been cooked down until it caramelizes. You also add some milk and or cream in there, and this turns the mixture like amber to deep brown in color, tangy sweet and toasty nutty in flavor, and just dense and semi-soft and kind of toothsome in texture. It's molded into blocks or bricks and sold that way. Typically, you cut or shave thin slices off of the block. It's eaten as a topping for toast or on sandwiches or to make sauces for other dishes, like maybe like meatballs or game meats, or as a dip, like fondue. Yeah. It can be more mild if it's mostly cow milk, or more funky, tangy if it's mostly goat. Different varieties may be salty or not salty. It's sort of like caramel cheese fudge,
mm-hmm.
Which is probably a combination of words that makes most Americans go, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
But like in a nice way,
yeah.
According to me. It's like a cheese version of dulce de leche or cajeta. Cajeta being a goat's milk caramel that is like one of my favorite things on the planet. Brunost is almost like the same texture as like processed American cheese or like a really young unaged cheddar,
mm-hmm.
But with a wackier, greater depth of flavor. It's like cows and goats made candy.
Once again, sounds like a video game. You go to the old cows and goats and they make the good candy.
Yeah, you know.
You eat it and it gives you a health boost or something. Yeah.
It's episodes like this that I do wish I played Animal Crossing. I feel like I'm missing out on something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, okay. So cheese 101. When you make cheese, you take milk and separate it into the fats and fat-soluble stuff, that is the curds, versus the water and water-soluble stuff, that is the whey. That's like a Mandalorian thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we go. Most cheeses involve you then discarding the whey and further processing the curds to make your cheese. Like, the whey is a byproduct there. But it's still full of good stuff, like lots of proteins, some sugars, a little bit of stray fats, some vitamins. And so some products like ricotta and brunost use it to make a cheese-like product. With Brunost, you're looking to cook the whey down to remove like 80% of the water from it, so that you condense it into a solid. But because that would be pretty like gritty and brittle on its own, you also add in fresh milk or cream for the fats and proteins that are in there. And then, yeah, you basically just gently simmer this whey and your milk and or cream for a few hours, like maybe several hours, until it's browned from caramelization of the milk sugars and thick, like a sauce or a paste, depending on what you're going for. I've read that you might also add extra sugar or even a prepared sugar, like a dulce de leche situation, to achieve a deeper color and sweeter flavor. I don't know, y'all write in. What you're gonna go for, like what you think is the right color and texture and flavor is a very personal matter. I would be so rude to ask you about it. That is exactly the level of rudeness that I am. But I've read that it varies very much regionally and personally. So if you have those strong opinions, I want to know about them, and I would never tell you you're wrong. I understand that this is mostly a purchased product rather than like a made-at-home kind of product because, yeah, it takes several hours of making sure that whey doesn't boil, which... I mean, I don't know, pandemic, let me know. But it can be a little bit finicky to get the right texture. Like it can go grainy pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're sold, they are typically sold in like a straightforward wrapped block, but are also sometimes like on the artisan end, made in like really prettily carved wooden molds.
Oh, okay.
Love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And most traditionally is eaten at breakfast, very thinly sliced on toast, maybe with a little butter or something. But I've seen all kinds of recipes incorporating it. On waffles with jam is another common one, but in sandwiches, in meatball stew kind of situations, in mushroom soups, in ice creams, in layer cakes, in quick breads, made into a salad dressing, as part of a base for a casserole, in a latte. I don't know.
It really does show up in all kinds of things.
Which, oh, I love. I love, I love, I love. Mm-hmm. The largest brand in the business is Tine? Which is a sort of monopolistic farmers co-op in Norway of over 9,000 dairy farms. And if you are looking for Brunost in the United States, the brand Ski Queen is the subsidiary of Tine that we get here.
Mm, okay.
So, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, what about the nutrition?
It depends on exactly how it is made, but it tends to be a calorie-dense food with a high concentration of fats, sometimes a bunch of sodium, more sugar than protein usually. But, you know, if it's a treat, then treats are nice.
They are indeed. They are mm-hmm. indeed. We have a couple numbers for you.
Yeah. As of 2021, Tine exported some 700 tons of Brunost every year, which was up over 30% over the previous 3 years. So it was like on the rise as an export. And I got different numbers from different sources and I couldn't really confirm any of them. But I think there's at least another 150 tons made that stays in Norway. I also read that it's like 4 kilos per person per year in Norway. But again, couldn't really confirm those numbers, so I'm sort of just saying them out loud. And it is not only made in Norway, and actually, as of 2021, an Indian-made Brunost became the first Indian cheese to win at the World Cheese Awards.
The World Cheese Awards. Wow.
Love it. They won the next year, too. They won in 2022 as well.
Wow. That's mm-hmm. that's the movie we need to see. Or the yes. limited miniseries. I'm ready.
Let's go.
Let's do it. You don't have to call us Hollywood, but call someone.
No, call them. Yeah,
call them. But if you're listening, Hollywood, we do have quite a history for you.
We do, and we're going to get into that as soon as we get back from a quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico. We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks. But I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
And we're back. Thank you, Spencer.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so as with most foodstuffs like this, there is a generally understood period that this item was created, that it was first made. But there are a lot of precursors and steps that led to its creation. I can make the whole thing kind of murky when you're trying to write out an outline, for instance. Uh-huh. And this is one of those items that was made from the byproducts of something else, whey in particular in this case. So it makes sense to me that people were trying to find a way to use up all the scraps and that multiple farmers, people arrived at this or a similar solution around the same time. That being said, though, all of that being said, most sources claim that brunost was first made on a small Norwegian farm in 1863 by a woman named Anne Hove. I hope I'm not butchering that. I found a couple different pronunciations, but Hove.
Okay.
So she made this cheese, brunost, and then people got a taste of it. They made their own. Vendors and farmers sold it in Oslo soon after, and then more people tried it, and the demand grew, and then within a few decades, it solidified itself as a staple in Norway. That's kind of the short, like, version of this story.
But there is a very much longer version.
There is. There is. And, okay, so the story around Hove feels like a lot of myth-making to me. And to be clear, a lot of this did come from Tine or like manufacturers' websites. Mm-hmm. But the story is fun, so I wanted to share it. Mm-hmm. So, Hove, according to this, spent her summers working with dairy cows on the farm where she was born and raised. And as was the tradition for a lot of dairy farmers in this area, this involved fattening the cows up so that they would produce more milk by moving them to a higher elevation in warmer months, which I know we've talked about in previous cheese episodes. Mm-hmm. At the time, it was mostly women doing this work, and then they would use the milk to make things like butter and cheese. To reduce waste and use everything up, the whey left over from cheese making was often boiled, in this area at least, and the resulting product was kind of this lean, not really cheese thing, full of sugar.
Yeah, kind of more crystallized and right, like brittle and grainy kind of product.
Mm-hmm. But, okay, I love this part of it. I almost didn't include this, but so many people mentioned it.
okay.
Legend has it that Hove's father didn't like goats because he had some trouble with them. Like, they had caused him all kinds of mayhem, so he was like, no goats on my farm, never again. Huh. So Anne only had cow's milk to work with. Yes. So when she was 17, she got the idea to boil down the whey, but add in cream. And so that produced a firmer, fattier, more cheese-like product that was very full of flavor, from what I read. And this was happening in the backdrop of the Industrial Revolution. So there were these innovations in transportation and food technology that had prices dropping, and that also had like new products entering markets from different places all over the world. Mm-hmm. But Hove was determined to offer an affordable and delicious product that could stand out in the face of all of this. So she experimented with a combo of cow's milk and goat's milk. And I was like, wait a minute, but you've been telling me all this stuff about the goats. Our dad didn't have any goats. But apparently this was after she married a man who loved goats.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So then the goat milk got added back in.
Okay. Until
she had a cheese that turned a profit and really caught on in the area. And other nearby farms started making something like this, and they were able to avoid financial crises thanks to this innovation, as the story goes, at least. And Hove is often painted as a woman finding success in a male-dominated farming field. In 1933, she was awarded the King's Medal of Merit for the contribution of this cheese to the Norwegian economy and culture. And on top of that, that farm where historians believe, or we've now kind of like put the flag in, this is where it was first made. Mm-hmm. Her birthplace, Anne Hove's birthplace, is now a national historic site.
Yeah, yeah. You can go visit it. You can go tour this site and they will serve you some waffles.
Yes. And you can like watch the cheese being made from what I understand. If anyone's been, oh my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Please let us know. The first commercial Brunost factory opened in 1908 in Norway.
And then a slight side note, but in 1925, a Norwegian carpenter by the name of Thor Bjorklund patented a type of handheld cheese slicer for the express purpose of peeling off these thin layers of Brunost. It's called a Ustehovel. I think I'm almost not butchering that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. okay. It's a type of cheese slicer that looks kind of like a pie spatula. You know, like the operative bit is in a wedge shape, but it has a single long opening across the widest bit of the wedge, with a bladed edge on one side of the opening. So like you pull it across the surface of the cheese, and a slice or like a wide ribbon almost will come off. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He based this on a carpenter's plane. And yeah, it went into industrial production in 1927, and apparently over 60 million have been sold since.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I knew a cheesemonger. He was like a recluse, one might say.
Okay.
He was hard to find, but that's how he cut up all of his cheese.
Yeah. It is a popular tool for many cheeses that are not just Brunost now.
Mm-hmm. It was very cool. And this came up in a lot of my research. A trailer carrying 60,000 pounds of Brunost caught fire in Norway in 2013, and it burned for more than 4 days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it was I think was actively on fire for like 5 days. Because that's a lot of cheese that contains a lot of fats and sugars. And also, like, the gases that it was releasing were, like, bad enough, like, toxic enough that the officials couldn't really close in on it for a few days. And so, yeah, it just made for really good fuel, as it turns out. Mm-hmm. And I'm entertained by this, like, short-lived cheese version of Centralia. Like, it's just on fire forever now. Sorry.
Silent Hill reference, solid.
Yeah.
Also, I loved that almost every article quoted this. I think it's a police officer who was like, who knew cheese could burn that much? Yeah. Yes. Well, in 2021, a bunch of headlines circulated about this trend in South Korea of using brunost as a pizza topping, which, listeners, again, please write in.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there were these videos circulating of people, like putting it in one of those, like a Parmesan grater kind of situation and just grating kind of a lot on top of a pizza. And apparently Tina exceeded what they had expected to export to South Korea for the whole year by May of 2021. And that was like 28 tons. They were already over and they were like, heck, where do we get? We have to redistribute our cheese.
The power of a trend, I tell you.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Then in 2022, okay, so in 2022, the Norwegian ambassador to the United Nations began her presidency of the UN Security Council. Okay.
Okay.
And it's a tradition when someone new comes in to bring a symbolic gift. And she brought a gift of brunost as a little bit of brown cheese diplomacy. That is a direct quote. The gift bags did also include one of those cheese slicers and some milk chocolate. Yeah.
Aww. I also read that there was kind of what I felt like was a friendly debate. Apparently in the U.S., some people don't think that it's cheese.
Well, okay. So like this is going on the technicality that it's made from whey, not curds. Mm-hmm. And so people like saying, oh, the cheese of Norway isn't cheese. It's something made of whey that's like a cheese, but it's not cheese. And I'm like, I don't, can we, I mean.
It's, yeah. I mean, we've got.
If I'm comfortable calling ricotta cheese, which I am, then I have no problem with calling brunost cheese.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that just starts up. It flares up a conversation. That's for sure.
Sure. Sure. You know, especially on the internet where we love a good well, actually. I get it. But
yeah. Well, I'm going to seek it out. I want to try it. But I do really want to hear from you listeners about any of your experiences.
Yeah, if you do have a recipe, right in.
Mm-hmm. Please do. But that's about what we have to say about brunost for now.
It is. We do have some listener mail for you, though, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from one more quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada.
But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks. But I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip together.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with like a ski slope. I'm terrible at skiing. But
I've never tried. That seems like a bad plan. I'm bad at walking. I don't feel like skiing would improve anything about my locomotion.
The first time I skied, I fell right off of the the lift, and they stalled it for like 20 minutes because I couldn't get myself up.
You couldn't get up? Oh, buddy.
It wasn't good. Well, it was me and three friends, and we all got our skis hooked up, and then...
Oh, no. Yeah.
Well, anyway. I feel like I have these, like, random asides in these. It's like, Eddie needs therapy, probably.
I mean, I kind of think we all do, but...
Yeah. That's the moral of my favorite fan fiction.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
We
you
all
go.
Need therapy. All right. Okay.
Well...
Allison wrote, longtime listener, first time writer. First off, I love the pod and always enjoy listening to all the wonderful and weird things you have to share about food. I am from Wilmar, Minnesota, home of Ginny O Turkey, owned by Hormel. Ginny O is really good about giving back to the community. They sponsor a ton of things throughout the area. This spring, the high school music department is heading to Hawaii for a music tour. Word on the street is that they really like spam in Hawaii. So the music directors reached out to the powers that be, and now we have spam shirts to perform in while in Hawaii. I still haven't visited the spam museum, but it's on the list. I also loved your episode about the joy of cooking. I inherited my grandmother's Joy of Cooking cookbook a few years ago, and your episode inspired me to break it out. I haven't cooked anything out of it yet, but it's lovely to page through and read all the tips and tricks Irma has to offer.
Aw.
It's true. I love that about that these cookbooks that you kind of just can flip through them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not even necessarily reading. Like, you can read, but it's almost sort of like, oh... Let me look at this picture, or let me read this section, or I don't know. It's cool.
No, absolutely. I love a good cookbook reading.
Me too. It's just fun. And congrats. It sounds like a great trip. I hope you have a wonderful time.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Eat everything and report back.
Yes. Oh, please do. Mm-hmm. And the shirts. Allison sent pictures. The shirts are very cute. They're very cute.
So good. Jacob, we think Jacob wrote, first off, as someone who grew up eating wild rabbit and currently raises meat rabbits for market sales, thank you so much for the rabbit episode. It's always great to see more education on diverse animal proteins beyond just chicken, beef, and pork. Second off, there is no more ferocious creature than the rabbit. Several valiant knights have been laid low by these dreadful rodents. Just look at the bones! Facing the prospect of running out of meat to sell at farmers markets during the early days of COVID, I needed something to have to sell and remembered my poultry butcher would also butcher rabbits. So bought myself 2 dozen young bunnies, built a simple pen to be able to let them graze the lawns on the farm, and a new enterprise was born. They sold well, like really well, selling all 24 in 2 weeks. So I've been working to grow more to try and keep up with demand. And I still can't 2 years later. Rabbit typically gets two reactions. Oh my God, I can't believe you're selling that. They're so cute, that's terrible. Or, oh my God, I can't believe you're selling that. I'll take three. A large number of people who buy them from me do talk about memories of eating rabbits as they were easily hunted and a cheap protein to keep a struggling family fed. But still, memories of family and older generations' recipes. I'm excited to see rabbit being well-received and appearing in restaurants' menus, if not the cheapest meat currently. Rabbit is a great backyard protein as well for people with such interests, as they're quiet, small, and easily butchered by one person. Though, my worst scars are from rabbits, not pigs, cattle, sheep, or any other animals I raise. Their back claws can hit very hard when they're upset. I'll also include Flopsy, the bunny I proposed to my fiancé with.
And Flopsy's very cute, listeners.
Yes.
And a great name, a great name.
Oh, yeah. Ace's bunny name. Come on.
Yes. This is fascinating. I mean, one, rabbits are terrifying.
Yeah.
I believe that they did the most damage to you 100%.
Yeah, because you're almost not expecting it. And then you let your guard down and they take advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, rabbits.
They know you're weak.
Yeah. But that is fascinating that you had such luck, success.
Sure.
Selling rabbits during the pandemic. But yeah, sounds like you've got a whole business going.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome.
It is. And I'm sure the people who are in the, oh God, I'm so happy you're selling this category are very, very thrilled.
Yes. Oh, sure.
Yes. Well, thanks to both of those listeners for writing in. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We are also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod, and we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.